Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back. I hope you're doing well. We are supposed to be in chapter 13 of the London Baptist Confession today, but instead we're going to be talking about a post I made on Gab about knowing when to baptize your child. And if you're Presbyterian and listening into this, then basically when can you welcome your child to the table? We are looking for evidence of saving faith in our children. And I want to encourage you with a few things of being able to identify God's God-given faith in a child. And we encourage people to be recognizing that sort of thing at an early age at our church. We want to be able to see saving faith and then baptize young. And so I'm going to give you a few pointers on that. We're going to work through that post, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18, identifying a passage that is easily overlooked, but there's a nugget there for us. So let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll dive into today's content. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this. I just ask this would be a resource for those that are listening in, parents with children. We want our children to be born again. We want them to know you. And it doesn't really matter where we're at across the board, even for our Presbyterian brothers and sisters who may have already baptized their child. Well, they're still looking for saving faith. They're looking for their child to be born again. Unless a man is born again, he can't even see the kingdom. And so we desire that all of our children know you and walk with you. And so help us as we're trying to identify what you're doing in the life of our children, as we're doing family worship, as we're bringing our little worship on the Lord's Day, and as we are encouraging one another to raise our children the way you would have us raise them. God, give us the insight and the wisdom to know and just to identify what you're doing in our children, and then fan that into flame. Help us not be agents of doubt in our children's life, but help us to encourage what you're doing in their life. Help us not be a detriment. Help us not hinder your work in their life. Help us to encourage it. And Lord, there's going to be times, I know, with our children when they're struggling. And in those moments, we need to remind them of their confession. We need to remind them of your faithfulness to them and your work in their life. They do belong to you, and they know you. If we've seen that saving work, if they believed and trusted in you. And so God, just help us even now to navigate these things. I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, the video went off. Let's see here. If you're not watching on video, by the way, you can jump over to YouTube and find the page. I can put the link in the show notes if you've not yet subscribed. Okay, Matthew chapter 18. Here's the passage. Whoever receives one child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. This passage, I think, is profound in helping us understand that little children can have faith. Jesus says, little ones who believe in me. He makes a distinction here between just little ones in general and the little ones who believe in him. We see this in the life of so many people that we know. Charles Spurgeon wrote a great book on this about children in the household of faith and talking to them about the gospel of Jesus and expecting God to do a work in their life. And one of the things that comes up naturally in Baptist circles when it comes to these sorts of things, as we are catechizing our children, as we are praying with them, as we are laying gospel out for them, is the question about baptism. When do we baptize? Because we're looking for evidence of saving faith. And Presbyterians, you should be looking and asking those exact same questions when it comes to looking for saving faith, because baptism does not bring justification. You are still asking God to do a work in your life, the lives of your children. You want them all to be born again. And so we want to look at these things and consider them. I have a few thoughts for you this evening. It's actually...
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, Preacher Man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise.
Yeah, it's this evening, actually. It's the first time I've ever recorded in the evening, I think. But that's how it goes some days. All right, here's my post, and then apply this to you if you're not a Baptist. As a Baptist pastor, I often get the question, how can I know when to baptize my child? So then, how do I know that my child is one of these children who believe in Jesus, little ones who believe in me? Here's my response. You're looking for God-given faith, even mustard seed faith, not full understanding. That's number one. You're looking for God-given faith. So even small faith, if it's God-given faith, is saving faith. You're not looking for full understanding in the life of a child. Now, think about your own life. Maybe you came to faith early in your life, and you look back on that, and then you've been able to see that your understanding of what God has done in your life has grown over the years. Maybe you were saved a little bit later in life, junior high, high school, school, or even into adulthood. And what you'll recognize is when you became a Christian, certainly you understand a few things about sin and repentance and faith, but as you walk with the Lord, as you study the Bible, obviously you understand more and more. As you're discipled properly, you learn about what God has done for you, and you learn about the nature of sin, and you learn about the nature of faith and repentance and what Christ has done. So all of those things grow as you walk with the Lord over the years. And especially for people who are saved young, this can often happen. It almost feels like a second work of grace. It almost feels like, you know, some people have called it gospel wakefulness or baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's always this thing that people want to point to after they're converted where it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, the gospel just came together for me when I was 20 or when I was 25. I was saved when I was younger. Maybe I wasn't saved. Was I really saved then? But our understanding and your articulation of the gospel grows over the years. It should, anyways. So 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, you should be able to define things a little bit better than you can now. And you should be, you know, more theologically savvy, and you should understand your Bible a little bit better. And you know, that's just markers of sanctification, of growth. So when we're thinking about our children and asking the question, does my little one have saving faith? You're not looking for full understanding, because nobody comes into the Christian faith with full understanding. What we have is saving faith, God-given faith, where God actually gifts us supernatural faith. And it's not vain faith, it's not dead faith, it's living faith, it's real faith. So we're looking for God-given faith. Secondly, children can truthfully answer theological questions more easily than they can articulate Christian doctrines. So ask them questions, hear their responses. Don't demand a theological treatise from a young child. So this is where catechism works really well. But I think beyond catechism, what you don't want to do is just say, well, they've got the catechism questions down, therefore we're ready to baptize them, or therefore my child is born again. You still want to ask questions and do the catechism thing by just simply impromptu asking them questions about the gospel. So you want to ask, hey, do you know that you sinned against God? You know that you have sins that you need to be forgiven of? And so often children will know, yeah, I know that I've sinned. And you can ask them, hey, have you ever disobeyed me and your mom? Have you ever taken something from your brother or sister, been rude? And you can begin to ask questions about sin. And they can understand, yeah, I've done those things. So they may not be able to understand the nature of sin, or just, I mean, even the cosmic nature of it, the fact that it warrants death and punishment and hell itself. They're not going to be able to understand all of those things, but they can understand that they have sinned. And even asking them, hey, do you have sins that need to be forgiven? Do you need to be forgiven of your sins? Well, they can truthfully answer that. So if God is giving saving faith, then they're going to be able to answer those questions truthfully. And you know your children. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to understand if they're telling the truth or they're lying. But when it comes to spiritual things, and you may have these questions or these conversations with them all the time. I know with one of our children, our oldest, he was very hesitant to have any conversations like this. So when he began to open up about all this, it was clear, man, God's doing something here, because he went from not wanting to have any conversations about Jesus. He would say that he felt like worms were crawling on in the inside of him. He felt just weird and just kind of icky about having the conversation. And then all of a sudden, it was just on a dime. He was ready to talk about Christ. And he just, so it was a notable difference. It was like God is doing something here, clearly. So you're looking for observations of that God doing a work in them. And then you're asking them theological questions, because you could just ask him, hey, what, tell me about the gospel. Tell me about sin. Tell me about repentance. Well, even though they may have those questions and answers down, when it comes to just the precision of language, they're not going to be able to articulate that. But they can truthfully answer questions. So ask them questions. Hey, do you love Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? And here's what Jesus says, the little ones who believe in me to sin. We don't want to cause little ones who believe in Jesus to sin. We want to recognize, okay, that's belief in Jesus. Now, if we were to ask somebody on the street these questions, do you believe that you've sinned against the Holy God? If you died today, you know, would you go to heaven or would you be judged because of your sins? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is who he says he is? And if somebody truthfully looked at you and answered all those questions rightly, you would kind of think, without knowing them, you'd think, okay, well, yeah, it seems like they are a believer in Christ. Now, certainly you can't, even with your children or with the man on the street, you can't 100% nail down whether somebody's born again or not. But what you're looking is evidences of saving faith. And you want to encourage that. You don't want to throw water on that. You know, that's an important thing for us to understand, is that we don't want to, it seems like my camera keeps going out. Let's see here. What is going on? Sorry for the, yeah, it is. I don't know why that's doing that. There we go. Maybe there's kind of weird thing. I think there is a connection thing happening here. So sorry for those that are not watching. So what you're doing is looking to see again, how they answer, and are they answering truthfully? That's what we want to see. So number three, number four. You know what? I skipped number three. I just went from number two to number four. This is the next thing. I think we should expect, even though we understand that our children are born into sin and they have a sin nature, we should expect them, all of our children and grandchildren, to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus. Now, I say this because the extreme grace that God has given your children to be born into your home. Fathers have covenant obligations in their home to have the law of God as the standard, and the wife as the one flesh in the home is coming together with her husband and enforcing the law of God in their home. And then secondly, the father is required to proclaim the gospel in his home. That's what you are to do as the father of the home. You are the head of household. So they should know why we do what we do. According to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have a greater redemption than Egypt. So we have a salvation story. We have what God has done for his bride, the church, and then what God has done for us as individual members of that church, and how amazing it is that God brought us from death to life. We proclaim the law and the gospel in the home. So the law of God is the rule of law. The gospel of Jesus is on our lips. We are talking about Christ all the time. And then we are putting our children in proximity to the people of God. So we are required to have them connected to a local church, to be in proximity. So they're going to be their friends, their best friends, or those in a local church. We are spending time with, you know, a small group all the time. Our children are always around Christians. So the expectation then, what is the expectation of somebody, if you just remove your children from the conversation for a second and just say, what's the expectation of somebody that is constantly and always around the law of God? He is or she is around gospel proclamation. And it's real and it's genuine, it's sincere, it's from a heart that has been born again and really loves God's law and loves God's gospel. And then this person is always around Christians. Well, what's your expectation for that person going to be? Well, it's going to be that they would know the Lord, that they would trust in Christ. Well, that's what we should be expecting with our children. We should not be expecting that they're going to run off, that they're going to rebel, that they're going to, you know, live crazy. And, you know, obviously if you've been following me here for a long time, you have a commitment to Christian education, and from the household out, you love the household and you want to see your kids properly sheltered and raised up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So what's our expectation? Well, their peer pressure is going to be what? Well, it's not going to be a worldview from out there that hates them and hates Christianity. The peer pressure that's going to be reinforced from their buddies is going to be to walk with God and humbly walk before others as well. And so that's going to be love God and love people. And they're going to love the ways of the kingdom, because that's the only way they know. That's what we want them to know. There's examples of this in our church where we have some you know, younger people in our church that started to attend, they did like this dual education thing. And one of the things that they realized was that they were, you know, pretty sheltered. And again, sheltered in a good way, not sheltered in a bad way, but they recognized, man, there's something totally different out here in collegiate life, in this dual enrollment thing, than the culture that I have been brought up in. And they said that they were so thankful for the culture that they brought in, they've been brought up in. And that's what we should expect from our children. They should be extremely thankful, and we should want them to love the culture that we're bringing them up in, because they love their church, they love their family, they love their buddies. They've got the best friends that they could ask for at their local church. And, you know, the families in our church anyways, and hopefully in your church as well, reinforce all the same values that we have, because we're all trying to do the exact same thing. We want to see our kids to love God, and we're trying to raise our children the way God would have us. In fact, we covenant to do that together during our family dedications of our children. And so we're expecting that. We're not expecting rebellion. We're expecting them to believe in Jesus. We are expecting that our children are going to be counted in the number of the little ones who believe in me. And we don't want the little ones who believe in me to be encouraged to sin. We want them to be encouraged toward holiness. Now, number four here, when they do trust in Christ, praise God and require them to be baptized. Now, this again is for our church family. You know, if you're, you know, Presby, then just become Baptist and join the team here. Require them to be baptized. Don't let them disobey Jesus. Require obedience and get them baptized. In your home, I hope you require your children to do what God says them that they're to do. They should be required to honor you, to obey you, because that's God's commandment to them. Is the first commandment with a promise, is to honor your parents, honor your father and mother. So they should be expected to do that. And then when they trust in Christ, what should be the expectation? Well, there's not an option to not get baptized. There's not an option to not walk with the Lord or obey him or follow the rule of law that's on their life now. That once they're justified, they love God's law, not to be justified, but because they are justified. It's a moment, boom, they're justified. Therefore, from that foundation forward, what we expect from them is to love the commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus tells his people. And so that's going to be our expectation. So when it comes to your children, and you're just asking the question, should they be baptized? Should they not be baptized? Are they born again? Are they not born again? Look for saving faith. Ask them questions. And if they can truthfully answer those questions, well, then take them at their word and say, yes, I believe that you belong to the Lord. I'm expecting that. And then when there's seasons after that of, you know, cognitive development, and there's seasons of behavioral changes that come with hormone changes at differing ages, don't question whether or not it was genuine or not. Don't do that. Encourage them. Don't be the one that brings doubt into their life. Don't be asking, you know, do you really know Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Is this the fruit of somebody that loves the Lord? Don't do that kind of thing. Don't make them be the child that gets to 15, the teenage years, and 20, and into their 20s, where they're just wondering all the time, do I really belong to the Lord? Am I really saved? That's not what we want from our children. We want to reinforce the fact that, hey, listen, you belong to the Lord. You love the Lord. You trusted him. God has given you saving faith. Does anybody who doesn't have saving faith from the inside out properly answer questions about sin, repentance, faith, and belief in Jesus? Do they say, yes, I love Jesus. I want to be around Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be around the people of God, the other people that love Jesus. Well, what is that? That's marks of saving faith. That's marks of supernatural faith. So you're not looking for them to sit down and to answer every single question of the catechism. You're not looking for them to be able to write out in their testimony everything. Certainly they should know a few things. They should know that they've sinned against God. They should want Jesus to save them and forgive them of their sins. And they should want to trust Jesus and follow Jesus. But what you're going to expect from a child is going to be different than what you're going to expect from somebody you've been talking to about Christ over lunch for a year and a half, and you've been laying out the gospel over and over and over again. There's going to be a different understanding level. I mean, there are different stages of development. So what you're looking for is saving faith. After all, it's God who gives faith. This is not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. All of it, the whole shebang. And so if they can properly answer questions, well, then baptize them. Require that. Don't withhold it. Bring them in. And then never encourage them to sin by doubting. Encourage them in the Lord and fan that back into flame. Those, you know, Jesus will not smother a smoldering wick. That's not what he does. He doesn't smother that smoldering wick. A bruised reed he will not break. And as parents, we need to make sure as our children are struggling, as they're getting older and they're struggling with, you know, the young boys are getting more independent and now they may have some disrespect that comes out. We're not to break the bruised reed. They feel the bruising of the Holy Spirit. We don't break them. And that smoldering wick where the coals may be down for a season and they're really struggling through some things, what we're not doing is throwing ice cold water on it. We are reminding them of their confession. We're reminding them that they belong to the Lord, that they love Jesus, and that they're to walk with Jesus and obey Him, and that they're to repent and to turn to Christ, and to, again, be reminded of the body of Christ and coming to the table again as we come back on the Lord's Day to receive the body and the blood of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, and hopefully this can be some sort of a tool, resource for you. And again, this is for both Baptists and Presbyterians, because obviously we all want our children to be born again. We are fully united in that. You know, the divisions that's there in covenant theology, what we're united in is we believe that our children must be born again. So we have to be looking for that saving faith and then encourage it when we see it. So I hope this has been helpful to you, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crypt podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrypt.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crypt, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.